We're going to continue this series on how not to live just normal, and we're trying to be better believers, better representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world. And so I'll continue this because there are crises or storms or struggles in our life that come our way. So in my introduction, I know I will be redundant, but I don't care. Let me remind you of three things. I believe we live in a very negative, hostile society. I believe for the most part, the majority of the people out there have kind of a negative mood about a lot of things, about life, a negative mood about a lot of things, about their jobs, negative mood about a lot of things, even sometimes negative mood about their own family. And so I'm reminded this last week on my trip to Georgia that how blessed I am, my entire family, all my nieces and nephews and their kids, they're believers. But nobody can pray at Thanksgiving but me. I don't know why it is. You know, you may have a family full of believers at your house, but you got to do the prayer. And so they don't eat until Emory says the prayer, and I don't want it that way. I said, come on, isn't there another Christian in his family? But I'm blessed. I'm really blessed. I've got a blessed life and a blessed family. But I do know that I live in a very negative, hostile society. Number two, let me remind you of this, that I'll continue to remind you. We are surrounded by mediocrity. Majority of the people out in the world, majority of the people, I know most of my time is spent with you people and people at this church, and I'm not saying you're mediocre, but majority of the people out there are pretty mediocre. They're just barely getting by. I think they're making a 70% in life. They're just barely getting by. And then number three, most of them choose not to live any differently. They're satisfied living a mediocre life. And so I keep pressing on in our series here that I don't want us to be believers that are mediocre. I want us to be above the norm. You remember Vance Havner? So many Christians are so subnormal. If they ever got normal, they look abnormal to the world. And so I don't want to be just normal. I don't want to make a 70% in my Christian life. I want to make sure that I'm progressing. And I want to make sure that I'm not letting things around me disturb me. And so those are things I want to remind you. Today I want to talk to you about this, kind of like some storms in our life. There are three kinds of storms that come into your life. And storms, I'm going to use this as an analogy of troubles or maybe some bumps in the road or something that's caused us to pause and, you know, things are not going well. There's three kinds of storms. There's the ones that are brought on by ourselves. Ladies and gentlemen, God's given each of us a free will to choose. He's given us a free will to choose. We get to make all the decisions. We really do. The Bible says if you'll be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you'll be devoured by the sword. You can make the decisions, but you got to suffer the consequences from the decision. So some of the storms I've had in my life, if I look back on it, are my own making. They were decisions I made. And once I got married, what's really hard, men, if you're listening to me, is that the decisions you make now affect a wife and children and a family. Just not you. It affects everybody. So we have some storms in our life of our own making. I've not made every decision properly in my life. And my family has had to suffer from it, and my family's benefited from decisions, but we get to make decisions. This is true confessions this morning. I'm going to tell you a decision I made in my life that was a wrong decision. Some of you in this room were here when I made it. In 1981, after being here for about 10 years on staff, I decided I was going to move my family to Atlanta, Georgia, back to Atlanta where I was from. And I was going to join Reach Out Ministries, Barry St. Clair, a dear friend of mine that develops effective student ministries in churches around America, and I was going to be working with there. And so I moved my family back to where I was born. I mean, I wasn't raised there, but I was born. And so I take Susan and Jimmy and John, and we go to Atlanta, Georgia. Well, men, if you've ever moved and moved your family, it was a great place to live. It really was. I had a great ministry job there. It really was. But I came home one day, and I'm exaggerating now. Susan's over in a corner in a fetal position. Not really. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
I mean, I don't want to talk over y'all's heads, okay? I like substitute teacher do that. She's in a fetal position in the corner, sucking her thumb. And I'm going, what's wrong, babe? She said, I want to go home. Go home. This is all we ever knew. This is where we were raised. We lived down the street from each other. We lived in this area. We went to high school together. All these people at this church was a tremendous amount of friends. And I moved my family to Atlanta, Georgia, thinking it was the right decision. You know, men, we're not always right. I said, I'm such an idiot. I went over, I said, well, baby, I said, why didn't you tell me? She said, you didn't ask. So, Freeman talked about it this morning. What do? You pack it up, you put that for sale sign at that house, and you get in that car and you head back to Texas. And you head back to Sagemont. And you head back to where home is. This is home. You see, it was a nice place to live, but it wasn't home. You see, this place here, you begin to meet people around here. This is just not friends, it's family here at this church. And so I made a bad decision. And it hurt us. It hurt us. And so you can have storms in your life of your own making. Number two, you can have storms in your life that are caused by other people. You do know that we live our life in what I call defensive driving. You know, you may be a great driver. I'm not. And your founding pastor is not. If you've ever ridden with our founding pastor, he's not.
That's what we've heard.
If you come on the lot out here, you'll see some speed limit signs say 15 miles an hour.
Beautiful.
Well, let me tell you a story of that. He made me put those up. He calls me all the time. Hey, give me some speed limit signs out there. What do you mean? He goes, I almost got ran over. Well, you don't know how many people you've almost run over. Almost got ran over. And I said, well, what's the speed limit you want? 15 miles an hour. I said, Brother John, you've never driven 15 miles an hour on your driveway. Hey, I'm not being disrespectful. I've been 52 years. Now, he's not afraid of me.
Right.
But I'm telling you, you got people driving out there on these roads that you got to drive defensively. You got to live life defensively. You got to be. People can make decisions that's going to affect you. You didn't make the decision, but they made the decision. It affects you. It affects you in life. So there's some storms that could come your way because of other people. And then really, listen, don't turn your halo down. You got some storms in your life that could come by God. God will bring some things in your life. I'm not trying to simplify this, but God brings things in our life to test us sometimes. He tested Job. Job didn't ask for what he went through. He's just testing you sometimes to see if you're going to respond properly. And God will bring some things in your life. James chapter 1 verse 2 is Brother Chuck and mine's favorite verse. Count it all joy when you meet various trials, for the testing of your faith produces patience. That God's going to bring some trials in your life. I was in Arkansas a few years back, years ago, when I was on the road and I was preaching revival. And after I was preaching on this, James 1, 2, you know, count it all joy when you meet various trials, for the testing of your faith produces patience. And after the service, you know, people come up to you afterwards to either tell you did a great job or correct you. You get ready for it. Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate it. And this woman came up and says, Brother Emery, I really need patience. I wish you'd pray this week that I get patience. I said, why don't we pray right now? That's the way I am. So I put my hand on her shoulder. Oh, God, I'm asking for this lady. She wants patience. I would ask that you bring heartache and some trials and some problems into her life this week. And no, she grabbed me. She said, no, I didn't pray. I didn't want you to pray for me to have the trials. And I said, baby, don't you know what the Bible says? Trials work with patience. You cannot go get patience unless you go through some trials. You know, this is a hard life we live in. And so I think that we have some storms that God allows to come into our life to test us. And you got to be ready for it. So here's what I want us to do. Turn in your Bible And Jim, we're going to go verse by verse here.
That was cute.
Y'all think I set him up? I did. Okay, turn into Book of Acts, Acts chapter 27. Now, let me catch you up a little bit. I'm not going to give you the whole background story. Paul, God, Book of Acts, this is at the end of the Book of Acts now. Paul now has, he hated Christians. He would rather them eat ground glass. He hated them. He was bent on terrorizing them. And on the road to Damascus, he was saved dramatically. And now he are one. Then he goes on to be one of the most dynamic believers. And Paul wrote almost all of the New Testament. You have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then Luke wrote Acts that we're in right now. But most of the rest of the New Testament was written by the Apostle Paul as he would go into these towns and he would start churches. How did he start churches? He would just witness to people. Paul would witness to a signpost. And so people would get saved. It didn't take many, and he formed a church. Little house churches. And so he would stay there for a while, then he'd leave that town and go to another town. He'd go to another town. He'd go to another country. Thus, you have in the back of your Bible, you have the three missionary journeys of Paul. That's him going around the country, starting churches. And so he's at the end of his ministry here, and right before Acts chapter 27, they had taken him before King Agrippa. I mean, they'd taken him before King Agrippa, who is right underneath the Roman emperor. They took him before King Agrippa, charging him with some false charges. And he went before King Agrippa, and he's sitting there. And I'm going to cut this short. I wish I could teach this. He's sitting there, and they asked him to speak. And he shared his testimony of what his life was like before he met Christ. What were the circumstances that brought him to Christ? And then what has his life been since he met Christ? And so he shared this to King Agrippa. Well, King Agrippa turns to Paul and looks right at him, and he says, "Thou almost persuaded me to be a Christian." And he says, Paul had appealed to go to Caesar. And so King Agrippa said, "I'm going to grant you to go to Caesar." Now, ladies and gentlemen, stay with me. He's a pretty sharp guy. He didn't have to pay for the boat trip to Rome. He was sentenced to go to Rome before the Roman emperor. That's called the Supreme Court. And so Paul wanted to go, he wanted to witness to the Roman emperor. Do you see what he's doing here? Tim, he's hot on evangelism here. See, if the Roman emperor gets saved, do you see the ramifications of this? The whole Roman Empire, it could affect the whole Roman Empire. So he didn't back down from King Agrippa. King Agrippa puts him on a boat and he's going to send him to Rome. All right, we're in Acts chapter 27. All right, here we go. Acts chapter 27, verse number 9. See if I can find it in my eyes here. Now when much time was spent, he's on a ship. Now since much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because of the fast that was now already past, Paul admonished them. And he said to them, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and of the ship, and also our very lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious," that means, you know, suitable, commodious. I don't know if your Bible has commodious. It's pretty close to commode. Well, I don't know, what do y'all have there? Unsuitable. There you go. To winter in the more part, advised to depart thence also. And if any means thy might obtain to Phoenicia and the haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. We're navigating now. And when the south, verse number 13, and when the south wind, that softly supposing that they had obtained their purpose, losing thence, they let go of the ropes, they sailed close by the way of Crete. But, that's an interesting word there, but. You got to forget everything after he says, but not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind. It was calm, But not long after that, it became a storm. And it's called this storm. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive, we let her drift. And running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken, they had used help, undergirding the ship, and fearing that they should fall into the quicksand, they sailed and so were driven. And we long exceedingly, tossed with a tempest. The next day they lightened the ship, throwing everything overboard. And on the third day we cast out of our own hands the tackling of the ship, throwing tackle over now. And when they neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved had been taken away. But long after abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and toss. And now I exhort you," Paul is speaking now, "to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. But there stood by me by the night the angel of God whom I serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar.'" Don't you forget this verse, I'm going to come back to it. "Fear not, Paul, must be brought before Caesar, and God hath given all of them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God," Paul is saying, "that it shall be given as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, and we were driven up and down, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and grounded, and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again, and it found it to be 15 fathoms. They're fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. God help us. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, and although they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said unto the centurion and to the soldiers, "Except these abide in this ship, you cannot be saved." Unless you stay in this ship, you can't be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the load and let her fall off. And while the day was coming in, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, "This day is the 14th day that you have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray that you take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall be a hair fall off of your head of any one of you." And when he had thus spoken, he took the bread, and he gave the thanks to God in the presence of them, and all when he had broken, they began to eat. And then they were tiny, all of the good cheer. They were all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were, all right, key verse, and we were, Jim, you looking at it? "And we were in all in the ship, 216 people." Quick math, that's 276. And verse 38, "And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out into the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, and they discovered a certain creel with that shore, and they were on shore, which they were minded, and it was possible, thus the Lord, they had landed onto the shore." I'm going to show you right here, this is a very tremendous passage of Scripture here, and I'm going to give you three reasons, you have your notes here, why we get ourselves into trouble. And keep your Bibles open, because it's right there. I'm not reading out of Reader's Digest. It's right there. There are three reasons why we get ourselves in a storm. Number one, we listen to the wrong people. Sometimes you find yourself in a storm because you've listened to the wrong person. You've listened to, back at work, you listened to some people in the break room. In high school, you listened to people in the lunchroom. And so sometimes we listen to the wrong people. It's right there in verse number 11. Let's go back now. These shipmen listened to the wrong people in verse number 11. What does it say? Who did they listen to? Who? Did they listen to an expert on ships? They listened to a centurion, didn't they?
Yes, a centurion.
He's an army man. He's not a navy man. And so they listened to the wrong person. They listened to all these people. And so what happens, number two, they believe that majority rules. Verse number 12, and because the haven was not commodious to winter, and more part it was to depart, and also in many ways they might attain some things, they listened to the majority rule of these people that are saying, yeah, we can make it, let's go. Paul says we shouldn't go. But no, they listened to the majority of the people. And the third thing is found in verse number 13. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing, that means you're not for sure, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosened this and sailed close to Crete. They relied on the circumstances. It looked like it was going to be fine. The weather had calmed down a little bit. Let's loosen the ropes we tied down around Crete. We're going to weather this storm out here. No, let's just loosen the ropes and let's sail on. So verse 13 is they relied on the circumstances. And then there was three things not to do when caught in the storm. Right here in these verses. Number one, and found in verse 15 through 17, the thing you don't do is drift. When you find yourself in a storm of life, don't drift. Don't drift. Don't go aimlessly through life. If you find yourself in a storm, Satan would want to have a storm in your life beat you up. But you don't. You don't drift around and be blown around by every wind of doctrine, the Bible says. Don't listen to all these people out here. Majority doesn't rule. Don't drift in your spiritual life. The second thing is found in verse 18 through 19. Don't discard. What do you mean, Emery? Don't discard the basic tenets of your Christian life. Don't discard your friendships that mean so much to you. Don't discard your reading of God's Word and studying God's Word, which is so important in a time of a crisis, in time of a storm, in time of a trial. You better go to God's Word there. But don't discard the things that are most important. See, they were throwing things overboard. They're just chunking things overboard. The third thing is don't despair. Verse 20 says, they begin to panic. When you have a storm come into your life and a storm come into my life, the thing you can't do is panic. You can't despair. You can't give up hope. You can't do these three things. You can't drift and you can't discard and you can't despair. Why is that? Because the safest thing you do in the storm is to drop an anchor. And so verse 29, they started dropping anchors. You drop an anchor for the things you know for sure. Not the things you suppose, not the things you hope for, not the things you were told by somebody else, but you better drop some anchors of some surety in your life. Here are the four anchors. It's right here in these verses. Number one anchor is God's presence. He says here in verse number 23, for there stood by me this angel, this night, the angel of God, who I serve. God said he'll never leave us nor forsake you. That's over in the book of Hebrews. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And one of the anchors that you got to remember, don't you discard this anchor, is that God said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Number two, and found in verse 24, is God's protection. Look at verse 24. Fear not, Paul. God said to him, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought unto Caesar, and God hath given thee all of them, and it sailed with thee. God was protecting the people on this ship because Paul was told, listen to me, Paul was told verses back that you're going to Rome. You're going to Caesar. You're going to be protected all the way to Caesar. Well, if that's true, then you're going to be protected in this ship that's in the storm that's going to go to Caesar. And all the people on the ship, Paul is telling them, everybody that's on there, we're going to Rome. because I have to go before Caesar. The third anchor is God's promise. Verse 25. Wherefore, be of good cheer, for I believe God that he shall even as it was told me. And he's telling them once again, you have a promise. You can bank on this anchor of promise that you're going to Rome. I know in the middle of a storm it looks like you're going to die. I know in the middle of a storm it feels like you're going to die. I know in the circumstances of saying you're going to die, and die, I'm just using that word, that you're going to not going to survive this storm. You're fixing their lives falling apart. And God says, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to protect you. And it's a promise that I've made to you. And the fourth one is God's purpose. Verse number 26. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a small island. Paul was telling them, we're going to be cast onto a small island because there's a purpose. God had a purpose in Paul's life. Whether it's fair or not, these people on board this ship were gravy training. Y'all know what that means? They were on Paul's coattail because God had promised Paul that he and everybody on that ship was going to be saved, and they're going to Rome because of God's purpose in Paul's life. To go to Rome. The people on that boat with Paul are going to Rome. They're going to go. And these were four anchors that they cast down in the storm right there. Let me wrap this up. If you look at verse 37, I know we're skipping some verses. Look at verse 37. And it says, and we were all in the ship, 316 souls, 276 people were saved. That made it through that storm. Character is usually revealed in a storm. It's not made there. God's trying to do a work in my life and your life, and he wants to reveal our character in the middle of the storm. And this is a great thought as we leave today. Sometimes God calms the storm in our life, but sometimes God lets the storm rage and calms the one in the storm. I know that no matter how old you are, you'll continue to have storms in your life. But I know that if we're going to live not just normal, we've got to endure some storms. If you've got storms of your own making, you ought to go ahead and confess it and get it right. If you've got storms that are made by other people in your life, you just got to live defensively. If you've got storms that are made by God, you need to really ask him what he's trying to teach you in your life. And so storms are going to come into our life. And so if we're going to live just not normal, we're going to have to endure some storms in our life. The greatest thing I could see out of these verses is God told Paul way back in previous chapters that you're going to Rome. When God says you're going to Rome, Paul, you're going to Rome. No matter what you encounter en route to Rome, it will be overcome because God promised you, you're going to Rome. You're going to Rome. And I'm going to protect you because I have a purpose in your life and I have a purpose in your message. And God wants to protect that in your life. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that we do have storms. It doesn't matter how old we are. We do have storms that come into our life. And I ask that you will continue to protect us, continue to promise us, but continue to remind us of those promises and those anchors in our life. We represent you in a lost and dying world. You want us to be